At the break or after the meeting, our 10-minute speaker is Joe F. from La Mesa.
Joe alcoholic.
Thank you for letting me do this, and especially I want to thank the Red Beat over in the corner. I mean, he's even more so tonight. First off, it's the history. I come from your basic Irish, German, and Czech family, so there was a lot of alcohol involved. I mean, not so much my parents. My parents didn't drink, but my parents' parents kind of put some away, and so did some of my dad's siblings. I mean, two of his brothers died from alcohol, and so it's there. And a couple of us kids have been afflicted with it. I have a couple cousins that are in the program. But we've been blessed that maybe it's only like 10% of the kids. So far, so good. What it was like in the beginning was I'm one of those kids who grew up where nothing was right. I mean, I was off from day one. Nothing worked. I didn't get along with people. I was an outcast in my own family. I was an outcast with people in school. I was the one always in the hallway with my desk. They couldn't understand me. I mean, I think I'm the only kid who's ever been kicked out of a parochial school for kindergarten. And they wouldn't let me come back for first grade. And they didn't know what to do with me. I know nowadays it's ADHD. Back then they just said, we whooped them and it don't work. So, So I knew there was something wrong. I mean, I had suicidal thoughts when I was 13. I had my shotgun. I was all ready to go. I thought it looked cool to blow my head off. But something happened. I kind of thought that maybe there's, you know, once I leave home, everything would be cool. And that's when I found alcohol, when I was 14. And the first time I drank and got drunk, it just didn't matter anymore. I mean, still lost most of the fights, but occasionally I won, and that was good enough for me. You know, and that's all I did, just at one time, you know. And people say, oh, you were this and that. And I was like, well, you know, okay, well, I can live with that now. And it progressed. I mean, even in high school, I had a reputation. I had a nickname of Fish because don't leave your beer out. I'll drink it all. I'll drink your beer, my beer, anybody's beer. I don't even care what kind it is. I'll drink it. And hard liquor, not so much because just didn't like that. But I love beer, and I've always liked beer. I mean, even going to parties growing up, I'd always gravitate to the keg. And, you know, the drugs were there, but I liked alcohol. And I've always liked alcohol. I liked the way it made me feel. And, I mean, I was in trouble with alcohol in high school. I somehow survived 6 years in the military where I was a good enough technician that they ignored being brought back by shore patrol occasionally, like almost every time I went out. And things like that. I actually did well that they wanted to keep me. But I knew that sooner or later it was going to get to me. So I thought I'd just go in the real world because that'll sober me up. So my first company I'm working for in Mexico, I work for an Irish family that moved their company down there, and God, they drank more than me. And I loved it, because then I can act like an ass with them, and everything is cool. And I'm like, well, this is good. This is a good life. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's no matter what's going on in my life, good or bad, all I thought about when I woke up is, okay, I'll go to work. I'll be that perfect person today that everybody wants me to be, but I want to drink after work. I have to drink. I mean, I've always felt that. I mean, no matter what I've done in my life, I've always wanted to drink. It's the only time I felt happy. And even at the end, when I was feeling really shitty, I still had a drink. I just, you know, it just wasn't good. I mean, my life was always, like they talk about, the highs and the lows. My life was either really good or really crappy. You know, bankruptcies, wrecking cars. You know, I never really came close to dying. But it was more of just, I never had anything just flowing nice. You know, nothing was ever normal for me. I mean, financially I was great, and financially I was bad. And I always thought it's just bad luck. When I look back, it's like, no, it wasn't. You'd just rather drink than pay rent, you know, stuff like that, or pay for your car, do anything else. And, you know, after 33 years of drinking, it was the end. I mean, I lost my house. I lost my girlfriend, my previous wife. My daughter was not speaking to me.
I'm living at a friend's house, and he told me to leave, and my only viable option the day before he finally did something was I was going to climb on top of a hill in Lakeside or Santee and just see if hypothermia or alcohol would catch me first. That was my plan. And he called the sheriffs, and they brought people in for me, and I guess it's, I forgot what the sheriff's counselor is. She goes, you need to go down maybe an interview at County Mental Health. And I'm like, whatever. Well, that door closed behind me. They didn't tell me that part. And I felt comfortable. And that's pretty bad when going into an insane asylum feels good. I mean, that was my best thing I had left in my life. After, I'm 47 years old, and that's the best thing I have now. Nobody in my family knows where I am. And so I'm in there for a week, and they put me on Prozac. And God, I feel good. I can sleep now for the first time. The committee shut down. I thought I was special. Nobody has a committee in their head like I have. Yeah. I heard that there's a few other people that are like that, too. And I just thought, okay, cool. So I went to a crisis house after that, too, for 2 weeks. And it's like, well, 3 weeks not drinking, this Prozac's pretty darn good. So one of my brothers finds me and brings me out, and I live with him. And I'm like, all right, I've got this down now. I understand what's wrong with me, and I have Prozac. So I guess I can drink. After about 2 weeks of living with him, he says, man, you got a problem. And he says, we got to get you in the VOA or somewhere. And so I went to the VOA. Now, my brother's kind of like my dad who never drank. Well, he believes it's all willpower. He thinks now, okay, you're going to go to VOA, and then after that you're going to, how long do you think you'll stay sober? You won't drink. A couple years? I said, you don't understand. If I stop, I have to stop forever. No. Just, take a couple years off. And I'm like, you don't understand. So I get into VOA, and I do my 15 days there, and I meet somebody from the ranch. And, so I make plans to go out to the ranch. Well, little did I know that you're not supposed to take any of your medicine, Prozac, before you get there for 72 hours. And a person asked me a question of, did you take your medicine this morning? Well, I'm supposed to be on this new way of life. And I said, yes. Well, you can't take it for 3 days. So I have to go back down to the beach. My brother's pissed at me for not lying to the admin person, Larry. And and so I go back down to the beach, which is cool. I get another 3 days of PB before I have to go to the ranch. I didn't drink, even though he says, well, I don't care if you drink. And I said, that's giving up those 15 days of VOA, man. I'm not giving that up now. Besides, I got a date. I want to keep it. And so I went, enjoyed the weekend, and I went out to the ranch. And it was Sunday, March 29th, and Larry met me there and went in. And my first night there, Larry introduced me to this tape that was Bill Wilson speaking right after Dr. Bob died. And, I'd heard of Bill, didn't really understand much about him. But he was talking about finding a God that you can deal with. And for once in my life, all this AA stuff made sense. I had nothing else. All of a sudden, what he said to me that night made sense. And I said, maybe there is a chance I can do this and find a God. Because I said I was agnostic, but that was just to piss my mom off. And so as it's, it's a going. And then, the next morning, it's a Monday, and I get to meet a person named Doug Tilley. And he has a very subtle way of running the book right down your throat, and you learn the first three steps. But that whole book made sense to me. I tried AA 10 years ago. I had the book. I don't remember reading anything like that that was in the book there. It obviously, the third edition did not have what the fourth edition had, because I didn't read that. But it all made sense. Everything in that book described me. Every one of the stories I can relate to. Every how they feel I can relate. I can relate to that entire book. So I'm like, wow, man, they wrote a biography about me before I was even born. That's pretty cool. I am special. And so as we're going, and I do 5.5 months out there. And I did a lot of walking because I don't smoke. So I just did a lot of walking and a lot of thinking. And I figured out a plan in my life. And I figured out what I have to do. And I tried to do almost everything they told me to do out there. I still have a rebellious side that gets me in trouble. But I stayed out of I think I stayed out of trouble when I was out there. And I came down here for 6 months at Pathfinders. And that was another good learning experience. I got a more, they had a more of a scientific side of it, where one person comes in and explains an alcoholic. What makes me different from my brothers? Because I have three brothers who, they have their own problems, but they're not alcoholics. And it made me understand what I am and what they are. And it taught me how to live. And my confidence came back. And I was able to find a job in my field. And I was able to do what I love and actually enjoy it now. Even when there's problems at work, it doesn't bother me like it used to. You know, and in the old days I'd have been going off and it would have been drinking time. Now it's just let it go and, like they say, let go and let God, because I can't do it. And it's been an interesting experience. In fact, the day that I checked into the Freedom Ranch, my daughter was she was part of an elite choir, and she was singing at Carnegie Hall. And me and her were estranged at the time. Now she lives with me. And we get along. And it's, well, at 18 we say we kick them out. At 18 she moves in. So, yeah. It's an interesting life now, you know. I'm trying to help her become an adult, and she's teaching me how to be a dad. And, I mean, I thought I was there, but I really wasn't, you know, because even when I went up to see her, I'd have to stop and get a beer first and get a beer afterwards and, you know, going to her house, but I knew where all the bars were at her house, and she lives 90 miles north of here. You know, so, but that's what it is. I knew where all the bars were before I knew anything else. That's how I worked. And, today is, it's a much different day now. I laugh now, that it's true laughter, where before it was like a cynical laugh, like, what do you want? And there was always something negative. I'd put negative even on the best things. And today I am probably more a friend with my mom than I have ever been, because when I was at the ranch, she actually read the big book to get an understanding, and she's the only one in the family who really understands what it is like to be an alcoholic. Where my dad still thinks, well, if you just were stronger, okay, me and you aren't going anywhere with this, so I'll let you go. Maybe someday you'll pick it up, and or he'll pick up the big book. But yeah, it's a lot better now. I mean, I used to be infamous for not answering my phone. Now people call me, and I actually answer, and I answer quick, and I ask them, I'm concerned when I ask them, not, what do you want? It's, is there something wrong? What can I do to help? And it's a big difference for me now, where I used to just, I only cared about getting a drink. And even when I wasn't happy, I still needed a drink. And it's not like that anymore. Today, it's better. I mean, I've had this job now for 16 months, and I haven't been late once. I haven't called in sick. You know, it's, at the end of my last job, I wasn't there, you know, 40-hour work week, I might have been there 10. And I got fired for it, too, so I wonder why. And, things are just better now. And it's all because of this program and learning how to connect with a God that I can work with. Because I never thought I had one, but I obviously did, because I shouldn't be here. Thank you. Right on,